for the next half hour to join us for interviews, discussion, inspiration, and for strategies to help you fulfill your potential, both in life and in business. Welcome back to Remarkable Woman Radio. I'm Mandy Beverly, and I am here with Amy Hendry from Four Walls Architecture. So welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, it's been really interesting learning all about you because I've discovered that you are the founding director and that you guys have been in business now for 9 years nearly.
Yeah, it would be 9 years nearly. Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. So what made you decide to set up your own practice rather than work for someone else, or just did you see an opportunity for you that you just had to take advantage of?
Post GFC, there was no opportunity.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that for sure.
It was 2010 and I had just undergone my registration. Being an architect in New Zealand, you not only have to go to university for 5 years, you also have to then undergo almost like an apprenticeship. You have to get so many weeks of work experience. You need to tick off so many boxes in various different areas of experience, from design through to working drawings, construction, that kind of thing. And then you can sit your registration exam.
So it's a huge process.
It's a really long process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I sat my architect's registration in 2010, and I think pretty much the day of the exam, when I knew I'd passed, I handed in my resignation and said, right, doing my own thing.
Great. So you've always wanted to do that?
Always want to do my own thing. Yeah. Yep. Always knew I was going to run my own business, be my own boss, and it was just waiting for that moment.
Fantastic. Yeah. And did architecture choose you, or did you choose it?
No, actually, my father actually pointed me in that direction. He's a bit of a closet architect, and he said to me when I was about 15, 16, and I liked so many things at school. I loved languages, art, maths, music, just sort of a bit of a jack of all trades. And he said, have you ever thought about architecture? And I was sort of, 16, so what's that? And I looked it up and think, oh yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I could do that. And so I did. So I can attribute actually my career path, that initial step, to him.
Don't parents like to know that?
Oh, he'll love to know that. He'll be thrilled.
Yeah, I always hope with my girls that they, they go, oh, Mum, help me with this. But, you never know, do you?
No.
Now, obviously, Four Walls Architecture, great name, by the way.
Thank you.
You are based in Auckland, but you are designing New Zealand-wide.
We have fingers in a few pies around the country. We primarily aim to base ourselves in Auckland. At the moment, I and Claire have young families, which makes it much harder to travel.
Yes.
We have designed work. Where are we? Christchurch, Queenstown, Golden Bay, Wellington, far north. That's what I can think of at the moment.
Yeah.
So we don't limit ourselves to Auckland. We do say that we can design nationwide because we have and we do.
Yeah. Mm. And there are so many beautiful locations around New Zealand.
Yes, there are.
Definitely.
Yes, there
quite are. Remarkable ones even.
Yes.
And you said in your bio on your website that you have extensive documentation and construction knowledge. So when I think of architecture, I'm like, what does that mean?
There are loads of phases to any architectural project. Mm-hmm. And I talk to my new clients about this all the time, so I'll rattle through them. You can divide any project up into three stages. You've got the design stage, you've got the working drawing stage, and you've got the construction stage. Design is all about what most people would think of as architecture, is the pretty pictures, where you get to sit down and plan everything and decide what materials you're going to have and what colours you're going to have and things like that, which is all nice. And that's what we call sort of the front-end phase. Mm-hmm. Then we go off for, a few months and do our working drawings, which is the pages and pages of documentation that you put into council to get your building consent. And those are the drawings that allow a builder to then build your building. And then the final phase is actually when it gets on the ground and starts being constructed.
Because that's going to be an interesting process, as the builder's got to interpret your plans now. And and we've just built a big barn, a complex, and just watching it go from a sheet of paper to suddenly being mapped out on the ground, and suddenly it looks small and then it looks large, and then it's actually quite an interesting process just putting it from there into the ground.
That's right. I take my hat off to builders. To all the stuff that we give to them, and somehow they measure it all out on site. You know, we draw things so tightly in the office. You know, you're literally talking about sort of 10 mils, mm-hmm. 10 millimetres in a detail, you know, 1 centimetre. And they actually turn that into a physical reality in a building. It's quite extraordinary.
It is really extraordinary, yeah.
But I sort of, through a lot of my experience, I really enjoy the front-end stuff. I really enjoy the design. But I also really enjoy the logistics of putting a building together, and there's really no detail that I wouldn't, no part of a building that I wouldn't now be able to work out how to.
That's how really to do. Incredible, because
which is amazing because you start off very ignorant, like that. Whereas now I can truly say it's like, yeah, you give me any design or, you know, difficult construction scenario, and I could work it out at least on paper, and then give it to a builder,
and then you sort of go from there together.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
you know, because. I mean, I love the pretty picture side. I love doing the, you know, going through Pinterest is my latest. it's my latest obsession. Just
and everybody loves Pinterest.
Yeah, I do, and I've got so many secret boards, and they've all got renovation and building, and you know, and all this, and it's a bit of a problem. But anyway, I love it. But it's a great place just to sort of gather a look or a style for.
We actually, I laugh about it. We love Pinterest. We love clients with Pinterest. It rounds out someone's brief. You know, they can come to us and say, well, we need the typical brief. We need another bedroom, a second living area, open plan kitchen, living, dining, and a laundry. You know,
and maybe another bathroom, second bathroom.
And then we say, okay, you know, that's great. Can't wait to work with you. Do you have any idea about how you're inspired by any particular look? Because it's not that we design to someone aesthetic, but if we can just know that they've been inspired by a particular picture, or they said, yeah, we love that, the way that deck connects to the house, and we just think we'd love to live like that.
And those beautiful black framed windows.
Yeah, or they say to us, yeah, we just love black framed windows. You know, we just really love how that kitchen dining area worked. Then, or we love the look of that bathroom, then we can actually take that and factor it into our design process.
Do you find that people come to you because of your design aesthetic, or are you quite broad in the way that you
approach
it?
We're really broad. Yeah. It's quite interesting. We like to think that we don't have a style or a particular fashion, but the more that we go through, you know, the more that our company matures and the more work that we produce, we realise that we enjoy doing really just good quality, long-lasting design with a big emphasis on that word design, really focusing on making, it's so hard to put into words. What I'm going to tout is our sentence on our website is award-winning architecture. I'll just put that in there because we won an award.
Yay, well done, congratulations. What did you win the award for?
A beautiful big new house in Christchurch. Wow. Last year, actually.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. Yes, you should be touting that.
Post-earthquake rebuild.
Yes.
Very, very big house, very big executive house, and we won our first award for that.
Was that challenging with all the new earthquake?
It was really interesting. Yeah, really interesting. You should see the amount of concrete and steel that went into that house. It was huge.
So even for you designing that now with that knowledge, you'd be pretty expert in all of
that. Well, we don't design the structure, but it was, yeah, there were really interesting issues that had come to the fore from a construction sense with council, with engineers and things that you know, that wouldn't have been unimportant before, but that now were really, really essential to get right. Mm-hmm. And there were no compromises, you know, with structure and all that. So that was very interesting. But we do award-winning architecture that merges your brief and budget with clever, joyful and inspiring design. And that's us, actually. Yeah. We really like to enjoy our work. We like our clients to enjoy what they end up living in. We like to be clever about it. We like to be efficient. We like to have a strong focus on budget, because that's really difficult in Auckland at the moment. Yeah. And we inspire. It sounds like a bit of a wishy-washy word, but actually if you go into a building which is designed really well and has really lovely, you know, good quality materials and has been put together really beautifully, you feel something.
Yes, you do.
Even if you say, God, this is a great space, that's that's feeling inspired.
Well, so inspiration means the spirit within. So it's actually really important.
Right.
It's one of the most important, one of the most important things that you can actually, the way you can communicate with someone, because you're almost communicating with them on an unconscious level, because you're communicating them with something that is their essence, their subconscious mind. So,
we don't like to design architecture, which is really challenging. There are other architects that do much more sort of heavy or challenging kind of head back, but you know, say lots of concrete, lots of glass, lots of hard surfaces, that kind of thing. We don't design like that. We actually want it to feel calm. We want it to feel really lovely. Calm's actually a word that was used to describe that award-winning project, which we were really curious about because we hadn't kind of thought about it like that, and yet that was one of the things they really loved about it, was it felt so calm.
And don't you want your house to be like that when you go into it? You want it to be calm and inspiring.
Absolutely.
And you just can admire the cleverness of it, but it just has it has its own essence.
Yes, that's right. And it just does all the right things, and it, you know, the room's in the right place, and
That's incredible. So you were saying before that you started your business during the GFC.
Yeah.
Which is like gutsy.
Yeah. I had one project that was a distant family member, and they wanted me to design their house. So that was actually the project that allowed me to quit my job and do it, because I actually had something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked up a few things here and there.
Yeah.
And then I got married and had my first baby. So actually sort of within those first couple of years, it actually worked out really well, because
it's
managed to establish the business but wasn't so busy that, you know, I had to take I didn't have to shut it down or slow it down to have my first child. It all actually worked out quite well.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, just having that leap of faith to go, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow what I wanted to do.
Mm.
But how have you then navigated going from the GFC to then there's this big boom, and now it seems to be a little bit of a plateau going on out there?
So what happened is I had my first baby, and it was perfect. It was still in the middle of the GFC. You know, it's been one of the biggest financial hits the world's ever taken, really. So it lasted a very long time, as we all know. That actually allowed me to just potter, really. I needed to work when my daughter was only 3 months old. I was lucky she was a great sleeper. I actually just picked up a very small project that I could work on sort of just a couple of hours a day when she slept, which I loved.
Mm.
And then, you know, I just got more sort of structured and formal with it, and you know, took on a bit more work when she was sort of 8 months old, and the rest, you know, just flowed from there. And then when I got another huge opportunity, actually, for that house in Christchurch.
Yeah.
The client rang me up and said, "We really, really want you to do this."
Yeah.
And I said, the first thing I said was, "Oh, I don't think I can," because my daughter was 1.5 years old. We were planning to have another child, and I thought, I would put myself personally at huge risk to do this. I don't know if I can do this. And then I hung up the phone and I thought, oh, no, you don't say no to this. No, no, okay, how are we going to make it happen? And that's when I called Claire. And Claire had just gained her registration, and she was looking for a career change. And I said, how about it? Come and do this project. You'll most be doing the project, but this is it. This is our opportunity. Because we'd been talking for a year or two about somehow working together. I said, this is it. This is now. So she did. And that was how we did that project. And then it actually picked up from there. That's when the world started to come out of the recession, and we just got more and more projects. And she was full-time. I kind of stepped in part-time, had my second child at the same time.
Just very inspiring, actually, just listening to your story.
It was really organic. Yeah. We didn't try hard at all. We just saw the opportunities and just quietly took them. And here we are now. So now we've built the business to, there's two of us, and we've got one staff member. We've got a really nice flow of work. Now Claire's off having her babies. She's got a one-year-old baby now. So she's been doing her maternity leave and part-time and all that now. My children are a bit older. I've been able to step up to more of a leadership role in the business again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now the one that can take much more flexibility
That's really interesting, just to sort of see how you guys are creating the flexible a flexible working space. That's, yeah. And is your other employee, is that a woman as well?
She is, actually. Yeah. We didn't go out to find one, but she was the best candidate when we advertised. Mm-hmm. And she is also actually 32 hours a week, split over 5 days, long days, short days, laptop at home sometimes, that kind of thing. She's as flexible as she wants to be. It's the flexibility between Claire and me is written in our partnership agreement. That's in there. It's in the legal document. It's what we said to each other when we set it up. The flexibility and balance comes first. And the business comes a very close second. But actually, yeah. It's making sure that our personal lives and our work lives are nicely balanced when we need them to be.
Yes.
You know, at any given time, depending on what's going on.
Yeah.
That's really important to us. So that's how we've set up the practice. And we're lucky that workflow and, you know, from a global perspective down to a national perspective, is kind of ended up supporting that.
And it's actually quite on trend, isn't it?
You very know, on trend.
Very on
yeah.
trend. And to yep. enable both of you to do it all within the four walls.
Yeah. Oh, slip that in there.
So we're going to take a short break for music, but I want you to introduce who we're going to be listening to.
Oh,
this is really exciting.
This is really exciting. I'm lucky, very lucky, to be good friends with Tammy Nielsen, who is that extraordinary, talented powerhouse of a singer who, and your listeners might know her. She's fabulous. Her new album is Sassafras, and this is the single that she's released off that, saying, "Stay out of my business." And I love the song, because it's kind of about motherhood.
Your head is shaking, your mouth is frowning, your tongue's a wagging, all over town, and your eyes are judging, your elbows nudging, all the poison that you spread with these nasty words you say. You got is your own. Well, did you do that all by yourself, girl? It's not that good, you might need my help, girl. Without your star hitch, I'll be my wagon. Girl, you're never gonna make it, no, your ass.
Thank you so much for introducing me to Tammy Nielsen. That was amazing. What an absolute powerhouse performance.
Yeah.
So it's Remarkable Woman Radio, and I'm back with Amy Hendry from Four Walls Architecture, and so she's introducing me to the up-and-coming New Zealand music scene as well. So we're finding out all about what it's like to be a woman-led business and having this amazing flexible workspace as well. I love the way you and your partner are actually really making it work for you guys, both having young families and careers as well. It's very inspirational.
Thank you. It's actually kind of something we don't actually pay that much attention to. We've set it up like that, but it would never cross our minds to make the conscious choice not to work a 40-hour week. You know, it's in many ways, you know, and again, we don't see ourselves as a woman-led business. We just see ourselves as businesswomen.
Yeah.
We see ourselves as architects, and we just happen to have paired up together, and we just, whatever needs to happen to make ourselves sane and productive as architects and as mothers and wives and personally, we just make happen. Full stop. That's what we do. I think we were lucky, both lucky to have quite good employers all through our work experience.
Mm.
So I've never had an employer which said to me, no, you must work a 40-hour week, or no, you have to come in. I don't care how sick you are, you have to come in. I've never had the experience. I've only actually ever had really supportive employers that also fit their businesses around what their employees really needed.
Mm.
And so it never even occurred to me that there might be another way to practice architecture or run a business.
Because I think if you employ the right people, you know they've got great work ethic, and if they can't come in for some reason, they're going to try and make it up somehow.
Oh, that's exactly,
you know,
right. And yeah. I learned very early on, you know, we hired our first staff member 2 years ago, and the lovely woman we have now has been working with us for a year exactly now. And I learned quickly that it was an absolute waste of my time to be worried about keeping tabs on my employees. You know when the work's getting done.
Yeah.
You know when they're being productive, and you know when they're not. And we're lucky we've had two great staff members. It's never been an issue. But it's a total waste of my time to worry about that. I've got much bigger things to worry about. I've got my own productivity to worry about. And, you know, and the fact I might have a short day today because I'm picking up my daughter. Really, our philosophy is, hire the right people and just get on with the job.
And put the right parameters around so you can go, this job is being done at the time that it needs to
exactly.
be.
Yep, you catch up with them when you can, and, you just rely. And you also hire people that enjoy being autonomous like that too.
Yep. Do you have any ninja tricks for the way you juggle everything, apart from this flexibility and things? Because we're just talking about how you are making your lives work and putting balance in and things like that. But, you know, you've got a partner, you've got kids, you've got a business, you know, just do you have any, you know, something that can help someone out there that is just feeling like they need a bit of inspiration around this?
It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Some weeks are really easy. Some weeks everybody's well physically. No one's got a cold. Some weeks everybody's really well. Everybody slept nicely, so everybody's had enough sleep. Your partner's happy. You've got a nice workload. You haven't had anything go wrong at the office. And you go, that was a great week. Nailed it. Yes. And then the next week you go, oh, God, the wheels have really fallen off this one. You think, oh, okay. The biggest thing for me really is I try and always put myself first. My mental health actually comes first, which means that...
Listen to this, ladies. This is really good.
If something doesn't get done, it just doesn't get done. You know, and actually I was preparing for this just in a cafe about half an hour ago, and I suddenly thought, I was thinking, you know, the best advice you ever get. And actually then something cropped up in my head. It was, I think it might have been Canvas magazine in the Herald or something, and it was an article about giving from your saucer. And it really stuck, because you don't give from your cup, you actually give from your saucer, which means that you only give when your cup's overflowed. So if you're going through a week where your cup's half empty, and you just need to close down and concentrate on yourself and your family and just the prioritise tasks, the office, that's what you do. But then you might go through a few weeks where everything's great, your cup's nice and full, it's overflowing, and you're like, I've actually got enough energy now to give to my friends, my wider family, the school, my office mates, all that kind of thing. So that's actually unconsciously how I end up running my life.
I love
when
that.
When the going gets tough, I actually completely introvert, do what's necessary at the office, do what's necessary at home, get everybody through it. But then I have weeks, actually like this one, where the world just opens up a little bit and I've got much more energy and time to enjoy, you know, just enjoy life's pleasures a bit more and you know, give more to other people and things. But that's kind of how I try and run my life.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. I'm going to adopt that, I think.
You're going to put that on the wall?
we only give from our saucer.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
It is really cool.
Mm.
So does that kind of enclose my next question about the guiding principle or theme for your life? Is that become
That's probably it, actually, I would imagine. And it's hard. It doesn't always work. You do get things really out of balance. But I know when things are out of balance.
And I think that's when you just got to focus on the bigger picture, don't you?
Because you try and focus on the bigger picture, and you just know that it's going to change.
Yeah.
You know it's going to, you'll probably have a better week next week. Then if it goes for a few weeks running, you sit there and go, okay, something's really not right. What are we going to do now?
So it's great. Ask a different question. So when you are now owning your own business, your comfort zone's expanded, right? So how easy is it for you to keep growing your comfort zone?
I don't make a big effort to do that. We don't have goals in the office. We don't have time for goals. Actually, our biggest goal between Claire and me at the moment is just keeping that balance. I've still got young children. She's got, her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth would we have a goal to, get that many customers or expand our work hours or something? No. That will come in time, perhaps. So that actually is quite illustrative of the fact that we've let our business actually grow really organically. We've never gone out and chased big opportunities. We've picked up on leads. We've taken the opportunities when they present them.
Yeah.
But we've never ever sat down and go, right, marketing strategy for 2018. We want to get to X, Y, and Z by the end of the year. No.
So you
know how we roll.
You focus on. So you're challenged possibly by the design briefs that come to you, or
we're just challenged by life itself right now. Jesus, how much more challenge do we need?
My kids are a lot older.
It's true. What we're actually challenged by is running a successful business anyway. And we do. We've got a really successful business. Doing the best job we can for our clients that walk in the door. We don't need to actually look too far ahead than the people that are right here, right now.
Because you were saying before, you're getting a lot of referrals. You're getting that word of mouth.
That's right.
They're just gold, aren't they?
Yeah, if there's any goal, it's to be as good as we can be to the clients that we have in front of us. Because if we do that, then the next client won't be far away because they go off and chat to their friends and rave about us and that's actually how it works, how it works the best. It's how you get the best clients.
So that's great advice, is to really focus on who you're serving in that moment, isn't it? Yeah.
So stepping outside of a comfort zone, we don't, because actually from a day-to-day basis, just running a business, being a mother, being a wife and looking after yourself personally, there's just enough going on.
There is enough going on, isn't there? Yeah, and it's just actually sort of knowing where your limits are at the moment.
Yeah, it does.
Because
it
if you get yourself too stretched, then you've got, as you said, two little kids, you know, where are they going to be in it all? Mm. And, they need to see mummy at the end of the day.
And also, the immediate business suffers.
Mm.
If either one of us is too distracted by things going on, what we're actually doing right here and now doesn't get done as well as it should be.
So how would you nutshell that for some of my listeners? What advice would you give them for that?
It's balance first, really. Or actually another little jewel of advice that I got very early on in my career when I was one day just facing this massive day and I had about 10 what I thought was really important things to do and I knew I didn't have enough time. And this lovely guy in the office said to me, Amy, said, take a deep breath first. Yeah, okay. And he said, just choose 3 things and do them really well today. Just 3 things. And he said, that's how I've done my job every day since I can remember. Just choose 3 things and do them well.
Brilliant. Now, my question I ask everybody at the end of the interview is, what is remarkable about you and what you do? I ask this from a value point of view because if we don't value ourselves, then others don't value us. So what's remarkable about you, Amy?
The remarkable thing about me is that I really care about people. I really care about our clients. I really value them as human beings. I like to find that connection, that human connection with my clients. I like to find human connection very quickly with my friends and my family. That's all balanced, of course, with giving from the saucer, because I can't be like that all the time. But I think that's what makes me remarkable. I think that's what I really end up enjoying about my day-to-day life and my business is those human connections that I find throughout the day and really trying to care.
And how do people find you?
You can find us on www.fourwallsarchitecture.co.nz. That's the word four. You can email me at amyh@fourwalls.co.nz or you can ring me 0274523027.
We got it all in.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining me on Remarkable Woman Radio today, Amy. It's been a pleasure interviewing you and thank you for those great tips.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. You have been listening to Remarkable Woman Radio. You can catch us again next Tuesday at 3:15 on 104.6 FM or anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/remarkablewoman. We'll see you then.